Welcome back to the Spodcasters. I'm still breathing, and so is George Mason. We'll have to get to them in a moment. Joined by Tom Keegan, the Journal World sports editor. How's it going, Tom?
Great, Andy. Sam, how are you?
DJ Wetter, wipe that grin off your face there. This ain't supposed to be fun.
I'm feeling good, Andy. Sam, it's a good day.
Ryan Wood, Journal World's football beat writer. I think that's coming up some soon, right?
I'm loving the shirt, Sam, man. I'm loving it.
Can't tell you what it says, but we'll get to Kevin Romer.
You a sponsor of the show? Not much. You've been saving that opening line for how long?
I've been working on that. Still at least, alive, like since George Mason.
You've just been hanging on to that one all week, haven't you?
Yeah, that's true.
There's a bet in Vegas, actually, who will get knocked out first, Sam Mann this weekend or George Mason.
No going home to the tar, are you? Is that why you're expecting to get knocked out?
Always bet on red.
Huh? I don't know what that means.
What? All right, let's do this. What's your first category, Junior?
We got a jam-packed show, but let's start it off with the McDonald's game. I didn't get to see a lot of it because I was at the KU-Wichita State baseball game, but I saw the highlights, and pretty good ending for a KU signee there.
Yeah, I DVR'd it and watched it this morning, watched most of it. And Sherron Collins, yeah, it looked good. And the best play he made, I thought, that shows he'll fit in with KU, is he stripped the guy and drives down court and pops a jumper in and looked real good. And so did Darrell Arthur, even though Arthur isn't physical, didn't have a big night. I thought he moved great.
I didn't think Arthur looked like a guy who wants to play defense, not that he played defense in that game, or rebound. That was my major concern.
Rebounding, great point.
He did not. A few times he just reached out and another guy took the ball away from him.
I think the biggest problem with some of those big guys when they play in this, like the McDonald's game, they're used to being by far the largest guy on the floor. They don't have to box out. They don't really have to worry about position in high school. Rebounds come to them because they're so huge. And then they play in these games like this where there's a guy at least their size that can bang with them. And these guys aren't used to boxing out, putting a body on anybody, paying attention. I think they all have a hard time rebounding in this situation because it's the first time that they've really seen any competition in the interior.
I think the best thing, that's a great point, and I think the best thing for Darrell Arthur right now, he looks like, if you're going to project him to the NBA, he looks like a small forward. But to become a better NBA small forward, he's going to have to do the Julian Wright thing for a couple of years and go play inside. So he can learn how to box out, so he can learn how to rebound against bigger bodies, because he's definitely, DJ, that's the thing that came to mind with me is, wow, this guy has no rebounding instincts, but man, is he an athlete.
He did though last night hit a three-pointer, so he showed some range that maybe Julian Wright does not have. So maybe he's not the best passer compared to Julian, but certainly a guy that looked comfortable taking a long-range jump shot.
And as you guys both said, he moves very well without the ball, as witnessed at the end of the half when he kind of drove down the lane, received that pass, moved around a guy and laid it in. The only problem, if you're a KU fan, that pass came from DJ Augustin, who is a Texas guy. He's a Texas signee, so I don't know, maybe that sways Darrell that way.
The other problem is, is Darrell going to even be in the KU colors next year?
Right.
Well, the MVP of the game, 6'10", same size as Darrell Arthur, is going to Texas. He looked terrific. And Arthur want to play with him?
That Durant kid's only 17, too. He's the reverse Brandon Rush. He's gonna be a freshman that's a year younger than everybody else.
Right, he was real skinny, but man, he was terrific. If I'm Darrell Arthur and I'm looking at that, I'm thinking, I don't know. I bet he comes to KU.
Buckman's gone. Aldridge is gone. You start looking at who's leaving there. A starting spot for a big guy is there, maybe for both those guys next year.
But, yeah, you're looking at KU. He's going to have to, obviously, there's kind of a log jam there. Do you guys think that there is?
Well, what he can do that the other KU big men can't really do is score a lot. I mean, Julian Wright can score. He can do everything. But if I'm him, I'm looking at opportunity in terms of scoring. I'd go there in terms of the pace they play. Texas plays a quick pace, too, but he runs the floor great.
Wait a minute. Didn't you say Julian Wright's going to be a point guard next year?
Show the crowd for 5 minutes on Late Night in the Fog, that lineup where Julian Wright's a point guard, Brandon Rush is a shooting guard, Darrell Arthur's a small forward, and then you got Sasha and CJ underneath.
That would be fun. You could put that lineup on the blue team, and then on the white team, you can have the point guard be Sherron Collins, and you can have Julian and Sherron guard each other.
Ooh. Yes, and then you can have Sherron joined by Russell Robinson, Mario Chalmers, and keep going right on down the line there, Darnell Jackson.
Now, getting back to the hamburger game, though, one guy that really stuck out to me was that Arizona signee that looks just like Luke Schencher. Buttinger. Buttinger, he looked really, good. He got the crisp passes and gotta love that curly hair. So that's one guy we're gonna be looking for. And I think the point of that hamburger games is to see the stars of tomorrow. And looking back, there's been some great players to go through there. Shaq played in Kansas City at Kemper Arena. Michael Jordan played in Wichita, as the same man was about to tell you probably. So
he just stole his thunder.
But who's gonna be the big star out of this game? Who really stuck out to you guys?
Oh, nobody. Man, I tell you, John Shire is going to be a star. The guy for Duke, he didn't play as much as I would have liked to seen him play, but you love the way he's got such a crisp game.
He didn't miss.
How about the twins that are going to Stanford, too? What is the deal with – they weren't that good, but what's the deal with twins going to Stanford? I don't understand. And the kids with the curly hair go to Arizona,
they're probably
the crew
smart.
Cut kids go to Duke.
I think it's where they do the cloning experiments.
So they end up back at Stanford. Because how many twins can you get in your program, honestly?
How about the obvious choice, Greg Oden?
He looks like he's 47 years old, by the
way. He does.
He's 18? Hey, I need a DNA check. I need Dominican passports and birth certificates on this kid. I pointed that out to a couple people that were watching the game last night, just sitting with some friends that don't really follow, you know, high school basketball, this and that. And his picture came up, and I said, hey, guys, he's in high school.
Yeah.
And they all started laughing. They're going, that is a 45-year-old man.
Jason Williams, the former Duke guard who had the motorcycle accident and ended his NBA career, kept saying he's 35 years old, he looks 35, and he's right, but Jason Williams has got to find another way to make a living. He's a terrible broadcaster, I hate to say that, but Jay Billis is the best from Duke, and Jason Williams is the worst. And in regards to KU, Dave Pasch, who's a very skilled play-by-play man, just said something utterly ridiculous. He said, what, Chalmers? You guys think Chalmers is going to be back at KU next year? Yeah. Based on what? Based on he had a great McDonald's game a year ago. So when someone has a great McDonald's game, they talk about him going straight to the pros. Well, he's got a year of experience. Naturally, he's going to go to the pros.
Right.
See, nuts.
Did you hear the comment before that when he talked about with Sherron Collins bumped Mario
Chalmers
as
the point guard?
What are these guys? Oops. Where did they get their information?
I think Russell Robinson already did that.
Yeah, that already happened, fellas.
I say something. We had an article in the Journal World today about Greg Oden, speaking of the 45-year-old man that was there last night. And he had a good quote about, you know, this new rule come out. You can't go straight from high school to the pros anymore. You got to wait a year, be 19, which I think he's about 45, so he should have been able to go to the pros. But, you know, he said, I already had the decision. I don't really worry about all that stuff. I know I wanted to go to college anyway. Do you believe him? Do you think he would have gone to college even though the rules didn't restrict him?
No. No way. Why would he?
Why is he lying to us then? I don't like that.
Because he has. What's he going to say? I don't really want to go to college, but I'll spend a year with Thad Mata if I have
Brandon
to.
Rush kind of did.
Well, I told Brandon doesn't know any better. He's honest.
I believe people word for word.
Everyone.
That's your Wichita upbringing.
Didn't Oden whacked his wrist on the rim off that one dunk? I think maybe he's soft, despite his huge muscles and I think he's soft. That's what I
based
think.
On that one
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
I think Ohio State has a good chance to win it all next year.
Right, fair enough. Perhaps I'm wrong.
Perhaps. And Sherron Collins looks like the kind of guy who could be the leader right away and the guy who the ball is in his hands in the final minutes, because this year that was kind of a shaky.
He kind of looks like the guy that KU was missing this year. I kind of was expecting to see him and then be able to compare him to one of the guards on the roster right now, but there isn't one. I mean, he handles the ball better than Mario. He shoots the ball better than Russell. He's kind of a guy that fits in between those two guys to where Mario can stay playing the two, and now with the departure of Jeff Hawkins, you certainly have a guy that can take over the point guard for Russell in and out of there. I mean, you've got, you know, you're just filling in little corners around this circle to make this a complete circle of the team.
So who starts?
Russell starts.
Well, absolutely the same guys as last year. I mean, Sharon's going to have to be awfully good to replace anybody in that starting line.
How do you bump Russell? He's probably the most underrated guy on the team.
I mean, it could happen. Russell could become the sixth man. It could happen.
Well, here's my other deal. Sherron Collins looks a little bit like a TJ Ford even plus. I hate to make that comparison, but within the Big 12 it makes sense. The way he handles the ball, and then inside he just has a knack despite his size, getting to the hoop, and he was able to put it in. He put that air ball back in, and he's obviously got better hops than TJ Ford ever had. He did, but you'll learn the game. The game's quicker. He's playing against guys his size. That'll change, just like Mario had to kind of learn, and a lot of the guys came away this year. But, boy, he can do it inside as well, and that knack of being able to get the ball up and wiggle around there is important when you're that size.
I'll tell you, the only way that it will happen is Chicago proving it's tougher than New York, because those two are going to fight. Russell's not going to give up that spot. You saw that. He came back this year. He was going to be the starter. So it could very well happen.
Yeah,
but
I think the
there's going to be blood on the court.
More important things is who's finishing the game than who's starting it, obviously. But still, there is that pride factor attached to starting a game. But I bet you Sharon Collins will be on the court at the finisher game.
He'll play a lot. I mean, there's no doubt about that, but I tend to agree with Andy Sam here. It's rare.
What?
But I know. Roll on that again. I tend to agree with Andy Sam. I don't think Russell is going anywhere. He fought for that job.
Who
he will be the junior.
It? Who finishes the
Russell
game?
Robinson.
Robinson.
At the
really?
Start, you know, maybe things change at the end, but I'm not about to anoint Sharon Collins the starter and the finisher at KU because of the McDonald's All-Star game.
Not because of the McDonald's All-Star game, but because of who he is and what he's
very possible, but he's that's got a long way to go before he's ready to finish a game in the NCAA tournament for the Kansas Jayhawks.
And Self did it this year. He made him work for those minutes. Why wouldn't he not do it?
Oh, well, he will do that, but okay. He also, if he deems a player has worked hard
Brandon
enough
Rush
and is
working?
Good enough right off the bat, such as Brandon Rush, he'll start him right away.
He had to start Brandon Rush this year. We all know that.
You know, do you like Russell in the final minute of games, though? As much as you like him as a player, he didn't do great in final minutes.
No, not, but I tell you why I do like him, though. I like it because he does take care of the basketball for the most part,
He's
a very good free throw shooter. Mm-hmm. He's not necessarily going to be the guy taking the shots at the end anyway. Those two guys are going to be Brandon and Mario, and those are the two guys that could get to the basket, and maybe so, but I think you're jumping the gun just a little bit here.
Maybe all three.
Well, we got to jump the gun if we're talking about, you mentioned the NCAA tournament. I mean, you're jumping the gun all the way to March, and you got to look at it. Is Sharon Collins such a loud presence that you want him on the floor at the end of games?
We'll see, but I
wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if he is.
Against some other jokesters in the McDonald's All-Star game that don't play defense, I guess the answer would be yes.
No,
but
I mean,
in the Big 12, no.
Well, you don't. Well, I mean, you got to project, though. I mean, it's not his fault he was playing in an All-Star game.
Can we put the guns down, promote the peace? Let's talk basketball, Keith.
Just look who he is, though. I mean, yeah, he was the All-Star game, you don't draw conclusions, but you try to look at who the player is and project him. And this kid, everything you read about him is that he's a great leader, a great football player who's got that toughness. So you combine that with him, as you say, being a better shooter than Russell Robinson, a better ball handler than Mario Chalmers. I think that's a guy you want on the floor at the end of games.
Well, maybe he comes – who? What if there's three guards? Maybe it's Russell, Collins, Chalmers, and maybe Rush isn't out there.
Maybe he's the power forward in the small lineup, and Julian Wright's the center.
And Julian plays point guard, and Sharon posts up, which he might be able to do at 195 pounds
good
and
night.
5'11". That guy's a brick house already.
Yeah. Nice problems to have, though, when you're trying to figure out how to fit guys. And if Darrell Arthur comes here, he's the guy maybe – you know, it'll take him a little longer to get used to the college game, but...
Yeah, but let's be honest. It's taken the guys that the Jayhawks have inside a couple of years,
exactly.
And they're still not ready for the college
exactly.
game.
Julian Wright's ready, but, I mean, this kid is more skilled, obviously, by light years than C.J. Giles or Sasha Kahn.
So. Agreed.
Hey, Giles said he's putting in the work in the offseason. Who knows what could happen, though?
Hey,
history says he will never be a big-time scorer anywhere that he plays. He'll be a nice fill-in player to do some things on defense, grab some rebounds, but he's never going to be a go-to post presence. He'll score some points on offensive rebounds and hopefully play some good D, but history would suggest he doesn't necessarily have the knack to be a full-time scorer and a guy that will want the basketball in the low post.
Agreed.
Hey, Ryan Wood, you look a little lonely over there. I got something to ask you.
All right, go ahead.
Do you think that Darrell's recruitment will draw out as long as Malik? I'm sure some KU fans remember this situation. Do you think he'll announce before the next All-Star game?
I do. And when did Malik announce? It was warm weather because I was on a golf course actually when he made his announcement. And
I thought it was like in August, maybe.
seemed like it, but
no, I think it was after all
the longer All-Star game. The longer it plays out, the more of a Greek god that Darrell Arthur will be in the eyes of all these fans.
It's true.
That's how it was with Malik, and then when it was over, it was like, oh well.
Is it a smart decision, though? Because, I mean, he watches who goes to the draft, watches what happens in these other All-Star games, and he finds the best, you know, the best fit. Baylor, maybe, still in the equation, too.
I don't know. I mean, if you have confidence that you're that good, do you wait to see what other teams are losing guys to the draft, or you just go to the place you want to play basketball at?
I think he's just an undecided man who can't make up his mind and is in no hurry to. That's all it is. And there's, you know, at the McDonald's All-American game, there's one or two of those every year that just can't make their mind up. And Darrell Arthur's this year's version, I guess.
And it can't be that rough being the center of attention. Everybody wants to know now, and he's getting all the hype. And if nothing else, when he doesn't make a decision, everybody's going to have looked into him 8 million times. When he's ready to go pro, you got all those scouts that are looking at you right now.
Well, let's hope it works out better for Darrell than it did for Malik Hairston, because I don't know about you guys, but the last time I heard the name Malik Hairston was when he decided to leave and go to Oregon, because I don't think he's done much since he's gotten up there. And he sure as heck ain't coming out early and going pro.
But he did announce he was staying one more year.
No, thank you for that announcement. Did anybody attend that announcement? I love those announcements.
Did anyone ask?
Yeah. We'll all be back.
Did he ever Carmeloize Oregon like he said he was going to do? That was one of the quotes he had right around his recruitment time. He's going to Carmeloize Oregon. And what happened with Oregon? What happened? Not to bag on the kid. I don't want to bag on the kid.
What does that mean? I don't even know what that means.
It means win right the national title as a freshman.
There's a guy named Carmelo Anthony. He played at Syracuse back in the day. I think he played Kansas once.
I mean, the term Carmeloized, though, seems overdone.
Well, Gary Bedore uses it all the time.
He Carmeloizes what?
Like Brandon Rush is going to Carmeloize the Jays.
Early season game, I forget who it was against, maybe Yale, he's saying, or one of those other type games. Saying, I don't know if this team's an NIT team's looking like an NIT team. And then 5 minutes later, after they go on one of their spurts, he said, now the only question is, can Rush Carmeloize the Jayhawks? Same game.
Unbelievable.
That's fantastic. He has a lot of those like that. He called one of these tournament teams, I think it's Northwestern State, he called them the Michael Jordan Bulls after they hit their shot against Iowa. So he's always good at taking it to the extreme, isn't he?
Oh, boy.
Not Gary Bedore. Speaking of extreme, how about the coaches in the Big 12? We're going to see an extreme next year. A third of the league is going to be new faces.
It's pretty
wild. Where do we start?
Bill Self is now the top half of coaches as far as seniority goes now in the Big 12, and he's going to be in his fourth year.
How are Ricardo and
Barry? And think of the people that are leading this thing. Ricardo and Barry, how in the world are they hanging
Eddie
on the job?
Sutton, who's not really.
Who's not even around.
This is getting like the NBA. Where your coaches just boom, 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 boom. But the biggest one, obviously, the most exciting one, the most controversial one, the one that will have the greatest impact.
Kevin McDermott? Kevin McDermott?
Greg McDermott, you're thinking of.
I'm out of it today. I'm sorry, folks.
Bob Huggins. Huggy Bear. Huggy Bear no longer. Huggy Wildcat. And he's already, people are lining up to play for him. Assistant coaches from Charlotte, the assistant coach who had the commitment from a great player. He's going to get him. The year after that, he'll get the AAU coach of O.J. Mayo, of course. KU can't throw any bullets, fire any arrows about that one. Chalmers is on the staff. Mario Chalmers is on the roster.
You might be the president of the Wildcat fan club right now, because I'm not sold that all these guys are packing up their bags and heading for the beautiful city of Manhattan,
they
Kansas.
Don't care what city. They want to play for Huggy Bear.
They also want to play on television, and they want people to notice them. And
they're
going to
be on
ESPN. Yeah, maybe.
They're going to be.
One game?
No. O.J. Mayo? If they get O.J. Mayo?
Okay, two games. That first one, and then against KU.
O.J. Mayo will have them on TV, because they're going to make O.J. Mayo the next LeBron.
Unbelievable.
You know how ESPN loves to do
He's
that?
He's got to get eligible
for it. So do we.
But before you get way out of hand, notice that Mayo, although Huggins didn't qualify his comments prior to being hired, Mayo did. He said, well, I'd consider it, but it depends on where he goes. There was that depends on, and I don't think Little Apple was what Mayo
disagree.
Was thinking.
Romery has had too many TV studio lights frying his brain over the years. I completely agree with Tom Keegan. If they get O.J. Mayo there, they're going to get on TV a lot. And
Huggins, the bad boy. They love to put bad boys on TV.
You posed a question to all of us as Kansas grads. Would this be a good hire if they got Huggins? I said absolutely, and I think it's a great hire. I still do. They're going to be contenders.
Ryan,
Kansas State was a boring basketball program for so many years, and it's not anymore.
Right.
Number one, right there.
Do you buy the argument then that the hiring of Huggins is good for Kansas? And I've heard this, because it makes the North better, and then it's more attractive in TV.
Yes.
Baloney.
Good for Kansas. Great for Kansas State.
Because
great for ESPN.
Two Big 12 games does not make a season, but it can make a rivalry, and that's going to be good for Kansas in the long run.
It is, because it's not a rival if you beat them up. If you beat them, what was it, 31 times in a row, 33 times in a row? I forget now.
Yeah, I don't remember. 30-something. 31, 32.
31.
It
died at 31.
I'm still just not sold on the fact that these kids are going to be getting offers from Duke and Carolina, Kansas, Arizona, and Kansas State.
What does Kansas State have that all Kansas those schools State? Don't have?
An equestrian purple? Team?
Exactly. And what did Art Long, a former player for Bob Huggins,
where is this going?
Do when he was at Cincinnati?
Bet on play polo? Bet on horses?
No, he punched
went
a horse.
Went to the track?
Punched he a punched horse. A horse just like the guy on Blazing Saddles, and he got arrested.
Who shot
for
JR?
Punching a horse.
Hey, I didn't even know that.
Yes, Art Long from Rochester, New York.
You know, he said, and Romer.
And that's why O.J. Mayo will go to Kansas State.
Romer continues to bag on Kansas State basketball, but, you know, we were hearing this crap in 1990 about Kansas State football. 7 years later, they would have played for the national title game had the Big 12 title game not gotten in the way. Something in football, which is a completely different subject, but it's a bad idea.
Well, they need a tournament in football. We all know that.
Well, I've actually had a few shortcomings in Manhattan. I've actually been handcuffed. Sorry, Mama Sam, if you're listening. But I, for one, like the town, and there are some lovely ladies, and I could see it happening. I think it would be great for that town.
Huggins is a good recruiter. He gets them to go to Cincinnati, which was in Conference USA, okay? Cincinnati, Ohio is a bigger town than Manhattan, Kansas, but Conference USA is not the Big 12, so that's a push right there.
What do you mean when you say good recruiter? Do you mean cheater?
You said that.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. We all know that. It's only cheating if you get caught.
Same but, Romer, you see what I'm saying? I mean,
I see what you're saying, but I'm still not convinced that these kids are going to – I mean, think of the other places they're getting offered. I mean, the reason K-State – use the football analogy, Wood. The reason those guys ended up at K-State is the same reason Fresno State's good in football, because those are kids that would have gone to Florida State, Notre Dame, somewhere real if their grades didn't suck. Really? But those guys couldn't get in anywhere else, so they all went to the same place and they became good. I mean, who are these – these kids – basketball is different.
Are you
I mean,
telling me Michael Bishop was not a good student?
Go check out that break, go check out that test. Didn't he score lower than Vince Young on the Wonderlick?
Now you're just
you get 2 points for your name and he scored a one. It was ridiculous.
It is different,
but it's different. These kids are gonna have so many choices and
these guys
are different. What do they want? They're talking about the pros, the NBA. They just want the attention. They want the spotlight.
And it'll be there.
Maybe.
Huggins is a draw for ESPN. Now he's coming back from what he came back from. At the halftime show, they can play the recording of the arrest, and you know they will, and that's good for ratings. And Huggins is going to be recruiting these guys. O.J. Mayo, here's what Huggins can offer O.J. Mayo that Mike Krzyzewski can't offer O.J. Mayo.
Playing time.
No. His money? Best, because he could get that at Duke.
20 large and non-sequential bills?
Yeah. Unmarked 20s, wrap and roll.
I'll tell you. His best buddy and mentor and father figure and all that, what AAU coaches pass themselves off as, is O.J. Mayo's AAU coach is extremely close to him. Bob Huggins can offer that AAU coach a job on his staff.
Okay.
And Mike Krzyzewski's not going to do that.
That's one player. When O.J. leaves after 1 year, then what do you have in Kansas State?
Well, you got two players because O.J.'s teammate in high school is ranked number two in the country.
But if they do
so
enough,
you got two players.
If they OJ do what you're saying.
If they do saying, enough in that year, I think then you
– no. If O.J. stays 1 year, do you really think that K-State's going to do that much? Carmelo-wise K-State?
Well, yes, if he has that great recruit who committed to Charlotte and that assistant coach, it's going to be a big staff. Yeah,
a lot of
it?
Ifs over
it's
here.
It's going to be a big staff.
I mean, if you hire everybody's mom and dad that are going to be playing on that team
– yes.
You know, you're going to have
the way he's going to do
same.
It.
But if you're going to stay 1 year, don't you want to Carmeloize the school and go to a school that has a shot? Why would you go to K-State, who has no history for the last
pretty
20
soon?
Because you're going with your
pretty
teammate,
soon.
Which gives you a shot, and you're going with that Charlotte recruit right there. You're off to a great start.
Pretty soon, they're going to have a shot.
Yeah,
you just be, like Bill Snyder did with the Kansas
long.
State football team.
That's another difference between football and basketball. Doesn't take as long to get a shot.
You're absolutely
basketball.
Right.
Because you only need three stars, and then fill the rest in.
Next
with
thing you know, you're like George Mason in the Final Four. Anyway, I want to pose this question to get back on the KU.
Hold on, Romer
angle.
Is fired up. Give him a mic. I'm not done with this. And the other problem with K-State is this. What is K-State as a school, sports-wise?
Football school.
Thank you. Why did Kelvin Sampson just leave Oklahoma?
Because it's a football
out.
School.
It's a football school.
Let the man preach,
I'm
Tom
calling
Keegan.
A time.
And
because
you, and
before K-State was a football school, it was a basketball
before.
School.
Before.
Things go in
before.
Cycles.
Before.
They have a history.
So the football
where
cycle is over now.
Ron Prince.
What cycle is KU on, and what have they been on for the last 105 years? Does that ever end?
Never.
Okay.
Never.
So then I don't follow that. Then
no. Are you saying
there.
Mayo should you go to KU about, instead of Kansas State?
I said if he had a choice between the two, but if I was him, where would I go? That's a no-brainer.
Well, if part of the package, though, is that the AAU coach is going there,
you know,
I don't think
– That's KU's one player,
already,
though.
But KU's already used that bullet.
That's and then to get on your other point, you said
this guy's talking
Coach Krzyzewski, what can – you know, the offer here that you did – The standpoint from Huggins is, if you come, we can get this stuff. Krzyzewski can say, we're getting this stuff whether you come or not. Do you want to be a part of this? We're going to be on TV. Here's the 25 games. Maybe if you go to K-State and they get another guy and it works out and you get in there and Huggins is able to turn around, then you'll get a few games. Maybe.
Okay, you're Coach K and you just asked that of me, O.J. Mayo.
Yeah. Okay. You're O.J. Let's hear it.
Coach, have you met my AAU coach?
I want
you to meet him because we're going to, you know, I like him. I like playing for him, and I'd like to play for him in college.
Okay. Your O.J. Mayo.
Then have a great like time in Manhattan, and be sure to tune in to us when we're in the NCAA tournament.
And while we're
we'll
on ESPNU, ESPN2, all
okay.
at the same time.
I've ticked you off, but I got three other guys that are just as good as you that have already committed. Have a great life.
Right. Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Have a great
Duke
life.
Is not going to play that game. They don't have to.
They don't have to.
Right.
OJ goes to the pros. His AAU coach gets kicked to the gutter. Who are they hiring now to bring another player?
Recruit who's going to be
player.
A package deal.
It's one player. Ask Oregon how that worked out for him.
But he's got the 7'2" guy already committed or
OJ
at least
didn't
visited.
Do it.
I don't know if he committed or not. He will load him up with players. And if you
maybe you'll be right. Maybe K-State will be the power of the Big 12 and ranked in the top 25 in 2 or 3 years and get all these McDonald's guys and bring them in. I ain't buying it.
They'll still have
yet.
A tough time beating I KU mean, because KU still, is loaded.
And it's still a football school. I'm sorry, but that's what it is. Right now, it is a football school.
It's going to shift back to basketball quick.
Ask the kids that are going to school over there who Rolando Blackman is and Mitch Richmond, and they will look at you and have no idea.
Ask them who O.J. Mayo is.
It's a women's basketball school.
Now we're talking.
And they're playing tomorrow night.
Who are they playing?
I don't know.
I do. Good. Ring out a Hoya for a MU rara.
I think the Skummet will represent tomorrow.
Claire Coggins, you bet. She's going to get like... at least 32 points.
And
probably
don't
more
any more
than that.
Don't
like
not bring
that.
Up Twiggy McIntyre. Don't
probably,
leave Twiggy
probably
McIntyre.
Like that. I was watching Metro Sports yesterday. Now it's Sunflower Broadband Affiliate or whatever you want to call it on the lineup. And they have Claire Coggins as they're warming up the cameras. And she's talking about how much she loves Metro Sports and all this stuff. And and the Metro Sports guy said, hey, are we rolling? And she goes, heck yeah, you better be rolling. You better all be rolling because we're rolling all the way to the title. What? Lee Summit right there, Claire Coggins, 35 points. K-State maybe beats Marquette for the WNIT championship.
Is Wood going into detail about KU women's or K-State women's basketball?
Really.
I got to walk out the door.
But how about this? Missouri makes a nice clean hire. We haven't even mentioned Mike Anderson because Bob Huggins is such a lightning rod.
I want to bring KU into this discussion.
Nice clean
when
hire.
Does the streak at Bramlage come to an end? What year? I'm going to say 2008.
Whenever they tear Bramlage down. They have never won there. What's gonna change that?
A better program, maybe?
No.
And you know what? If they try to make an NCAA investigation out of O.J. Mayo's AAU coach being hired by K-State, can you imagine the headlines in the Manhattan Mercury?
Here's the one thing.
O.J. was framed.
Here's also the one thing that we've talked about earlier.
I've been waiting to say that.
Yeah. Is that Huggins has had none of these restrictions where all these other coaches, you know, can't talk to the recruits. He's probably talking every day to these kids because he's not a coach.
Right.
You know, and he's just
that's a good
that
initial
seed
advantage.
More and more.
I just think he's one of the most highly publicized coaches right now, one of the biggest lightning rods because of – his drinking problems and his, you know, the NCAA things and all that.
Like they say, any pub's good pub, right?
Well, you know what? ESPN just knows that he's a lightning rod. People are going to tune in and they're going to have that camera on Huggy Bear. And if O.J. Mayo goes there in a couple of years,
let's talk about this football school, basketball school at K-State. K-State football's not at its best point right now. They were last place in the Big 12 North the last two seasons. All right. I would say, venture to say, in the last 2 years, they've been pretty equal on that, as far as that goes. Obviously, K-State football has more potential right now. But who can take their program to the top, Ron Prince or Bob Huggins? Answer that, Kevin Romery.
Well, I don't know. We don't know anything about Prince. It'll be better. But what I can tell you is, whether the teams have been equal or not the last few years, the attendance figures have not been.
Right.
Everybody the in Manhattan level. Loves football. Yeah. They, if you ask and poll the people there, what would you rather have? A Big 12 football team that can win the title or a Big 12 basketball team that can win the title? They're going to answer, we want a football team.
They are. But do that poll again in 5 years, and who knows? I mean, once they see what it's like to have a Orlando Blackman era back, who knows?
This just proves that print reporters are a lot smarter than TV guys. I think we've proven that in the last 10, 15
I think DJ
minutes.
Mentioned that he had a 4.0 and was number one in his class.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not gonna back you on that.
Nah. I got the debate champion on my side. Yeah. So if y'all want to do this, we can do it.
2001 state debate champion. What? What, Claire Coggins? What? WNIT, bring on.
I'm on my own team, and that's all I need.
The tall team.
All, I think all Kevin's trying to say, and I'm backing him up on this one, is there are a lot of ifs still hanging around in Manhattan. There's a lot of things
but
that
have
that
to exciting?
Happen.
For isn't who? That exciting to have ifs? Before, there was nothing. Nothing but
agreed.
Yawns.
No, I mean, the potential certainly has changed and is there. I just don't buy the fact that you take a great coach and put him in no man's land that he can turn it around. It's happened many times before. It is very possible. But I think right now at that school, because it's a football heavy and you got KU right next door, I think it's going to be very difficult. If anybody can do it, Huggins is going to be as close to the right guy as possible. But I'm not buying into the fact that if you hire an AAU coach and bring in one guy that may leave early, that's going to turn your whole
program around. I'll tell you, you're right that not any coach you can put in there. Dana Altman, terrific basketball coach.
I'll tell you what.
Didn't really get it done and make that a basketball school. It's got to be an exceptional guy who's a different bird. And Huggy Bear is a different bird.
You talk about taking coaches into no man's land and making them winners. It has happened before at Kansas State with their football program. It's going to happen again with Bob Huggins. They are going to be a player in the Big 12.
I agree
soon.
With you, Ryan. And how about Oklahoma? What happens there?
What happened to Denham the Menace? He said 2 weeks ago that he didn't have any plans to leave. Now he trades in all his freaking blue shirts for red ones.
He was devastated at the loss of Wichita's gray.
He didn't trade any of those shirts in if you saw the press conference yesterday. It was the same blue shirt with a red tie.
I'm telling you, that's going to become reverse now. He's going to get like the red jean shirt and the blue tie.
It's
going to
be sweet.
It's going to be
sweet.
They're red jeans? I was not aware.
Red denim.
I don't get why he was wearing blue at Oklahoma anyway. That's red.
Why is he wearing blue
just
at Indiana?
Good look.
They're the same colors, really. I don't know
why.
They're
good
that's what I'm saying.
Why did Larry Eustachio wear a black Adidas shirt at Iowa State?
And
there's
by
no
the
black.
Way, that press conference,
because when you spill your beverages,
the backdrop covers it looked up. Like he was the new swimming coach at Blue Valley High School. That was a pretty weak press conference.
Well, I'll tell you another thing. Press conferences, the media has to get stronger in this regard. If you want a press conference and the press to come there, have it be press only, so that you don't have fans cheering at a press conference.
They did it at Bill Self's. They did it at Bill Self's. They cheered.
Did they really?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was just Garrett with door clapping. Yeah.
And actually, at the end of the press conference, any of the media questions, a KU booster stood up and asked a question of his own. But it really wasn't a question. It was more of a
statement.
We're so glad you're here. And then the crowd went wild.
We love ourselves.
So. See, I guess that just comes with the territory.
You can have pep rallies and you can have press conferences. The two shall mix. I kind of butchered
they
that.
They do. They do it a lot of places.
Now, see, but being a media guy, all these forms of are mixed, and I wouldn't think you would care too much there.
What, a pep rally and a...
Yeah. I don't know.
No.
What are we talking about? So, and then OU names the interim coach.
That's just so and someone's in charge of the program until they hire somebody.
For recruiting,
right?
Or they're just going
to
wait out the possible
to
probations.
I was going to say, yeah.
I mean, is there a football school?
What's the need of an interim coach right now in March with your team already out of it? Why don't you just get a real coach?
A real coach, like a Dane Altman, a Mark Turgeon. Who else am I forgetting?
Isn't the interim guy
Mike
Bob,
Davis?
Isn't it
John
Bob
Lucas?
Stoops?
Would you be shocked if Mike Davis went to Oklahoma?
Yes.
They pulled the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah,
Detroit.
I would be shocked.
I wouldn't.
A trade with cash considerations and a player to be named later, maybe.
Unsequential bills coming back.
If Bob Huggins is coaching at K-State, why would Mike Davis at Oklahoma shock anyone?
Why don't we just make this whole Big 12 nothing but star-studded coaches and get, I don't know, John Wooden to come back and coach Oklahoma.
No, because players are athletes now and they don't want to play on a team.
Let's see. He said that again this year, didn't he?
He did.
Let's talk about, let's pretend the door is closed here, and let's pretend that we are the five-man committee that's hiring a new coach
the door.
For Oklahoma. Andy, Sam, I want Sound you to nominate effects. A candidate, and we'll go right around the room. And we'll discuss your candidate briefly.
Wait a minute. Explain this again. What are we nominating?
Each one of us is going to nominate a candidate briefly. For discussion because we're the five-man selection committee for a coach for Oklahoma for basketball. Andy, Sam?
Anybody?
Anybody.
I'm going to go with Mike Davis.
That's, you know, he in the middle of the season proved he can't take the heat. He said he's going to resign. Said that the Indiana should have an Indiana man coaching. He's not an Oklahoma man. Will he say that about Oklahoma the first sign of trouble?
No, which he's just looking to get paid.
Which is why I should go to Oklahoma because it's a football school, not as much heat. Perfect fit for Mike Davis. Hired.
Interesting. I'm not going to make that hard.
I think the tough part is trying to sell a guy that failed somewhere to the Oklahoma fans and the boosters that are paying for that program. I think that's a much more difficult thing to do. Is like, well, if this guy wasn't good enough for Indiana,
yeah,
why is he good
Kelvin
enough for
is.
Oklahoma?
Yeah,
and I think that would be difficult.
So I'm going to vote no to that. And DJ, you say you'll consider him, Ryan Wood? Would you consider Mike Davis?
I don't consider him.
I would consider him. Yeah, why not?
Well, I don't consider.
Okay, he's under consideration.
I thought we had, you know.
All right,
he's up for consideration.
I'm going to nominate. I would have nominated Mike Anderson. Think it would have been a perfect fit with all his Southern recruiting contacts. Not in the market anymore. Tough break for Oklahoma in that regard. I'm going to nominate Mark Turgeon, Wichita State, Sweet 16. DJ, do you accept that?
That's who I was going to nominate, but now I'll nominate a Stoops if there's one left that could just come and coach basketball.
That was my nomination.
that makes sense. No, I agree, though. I think Turgeon's a great fit. It's next step up. It's the right time for him to make a move, and then it gets him into a big conference. I like it.
All right, Ryan Wood.
How about Steve Alford?
No, we're talking Turgeon right now. You can make your nomination.
Oh, Turgeon, yeah. I'll second Turgeon or third Turgeon, whatever, right now.
He'd be third Turgeon.
Here's the question. I don't think Turgeon – they're trying to get him in a contract extension down there. I don't think he leaves, but I think that he should leave for that school.
What do you know about Wichita?
Not much.
All right, so he's one of the candidates. Ryan Wood, who's your candidate?
I'd say why not Steve Alford? I don't think he's a very popular guy in Iowa right now. Maybe he can go somewhere like Oklahoma.
Isn't that the same deal, though, that Tom just talked about with
the Ryan?
I don't listen. Yeah. I don't listen.
That Indiana didn't want him. Yeah, Kevin talked about it. Indiana didn't want
Oklahoma
him.
Oklahoma will not have anybody else.
I'm saying no. DJ says no to Alford. Romery?
Well. Oh, I'm sorry. I have his mic. I was going to say, if none of these guys are good enough, why don't you just see if Bob Stoops has time to do both programs, pay him a little more.
Or how about
I'm
the
sure
women's
the Oklahoma
coach.
Fans would love it.
She's a good-looking coach. She looks like she's a good coach.
Well, here's the thing.
She's my favorite coach in the field.
That's what I meant by that.
Uh-huh.
We're going to get letters
Can
now.
We actually have a comment about a women's basketball coach without going there, Tom Keegan?
She's hot.
You can definitely tell it's the off-season for the podcasters. Going downhill in a hurry.
I think it's more fun.
So who are we endorsing here?
Well, we're discussing Alford.
Sorry.
And we've shot it down.
Yeah, I don't know if he would leave Iowa. He's more of a Big Ten guy than a Big 12 guy. I'd have a hard time with that one.
Okay, so he's not under discussion.
Oh,
Romer, you're the last one to have a
say.
Turgeon already had a majority, so he's in discussion. One of the who moves to the next round, as did Mike Davis move to the next round as well. So who do you nominate?
All right, I'm going to throw a name out there we hadn't talked about yet. What do you think about Dana Altman, a guy that has succeeded at Creighton? He's a guy that has been in the Big 12. He's been there once. He didn't succeed, but he knows what it takes now, and he'll be at a school, I think, that obviously the facilities are much better now. He's got some good players there already, and the problem with K-State when he took it over was they didn't have anything, and he's taking over a much different program that can start higher than K-State, and he's obviously been a winner where he's been.
Terrific coach. I have no problem with
advancing
him.
And he knows the Midwest.
But he's also been at Creighton for so long and making so much money, you wonder why, you know, maybe he's just liking life there.
Oklahoma's got more money than Creighton.
I would give him a
call.
Well,
obviously, but I mean, he's
but I wouldn't expect much because Altman's going to want the opportunity to coach Nick Baugh. He's not going to leave right now.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point.
See, it's a great point.
Before we take any more coaches into consideration.
Hold on. Billy Tubbs, I forgot to tell you that I think he's coming back.
I said
back.
Before we take
Billy
any more
Tubbs,
coaches.
He did resign at Lamar.
We got Huggy Bear. Why can't we have Tubby Ball?
Tubby Ball and Huggy
Lamar Bear. Did not exactly work out for Billy.
No.
It didn't go so well. I remember when they hired him, people down in Texas were fired up about that. They were fired up for Billy, and I think the best thing he did was at a halftime when people were throwing bottles on the table, took the microphone and
impressive.
Said, no matter how bad the officiating is, don't do that.
That was fantastic.
Was that when he was at Lamar?
No, that was at Oklahoma. Yeah, that was at Oklahoma, but it's still fantastic.
I've got a buddy, though, down in the OU region. He works for the Oklahoma City Redhawks, and he called me yesterday freaking out a little bit, and he said, you know, that they're talking about Bill Self down here. They say the Bill Self.
Gottlieb.
No, I know. But I'm just getting it out, so in case other spotcasters heard that, and they said because he's not happy at Kansas.
Did you say a buddy or a body?
A buddy.
First of all, a friend. He's very happy at Kansas.
Exactly.
He's not getting a lot of heat.
He's not.
He really isn't. Certainly not from us.
And his team is coming along.
Yeah. I mean, no, that was shocking because Doug Gottlieb, information is usually good and his opinions are usually solid, and that's the most ridiculous thing he's ever said. Bill Self is happy here and, indeed, not getting a lot of heat.
It's not the most ridiculous thing he's done because he put his pants on backwards at KU in a game and then changed them in the huddle. So when it comes to KU, sometimes he gets a little confused.
Yes.
I know someone else who did that. His name's Bryant Nash. Do you remember that? In the NCAA tournament game against Illinois-Chicago.
Wow.
They huddle around. They all categorically denied it after the game that in fact took place, but we saw it.
Jimmy Collins coached UIC.
I don't buy that for a minute.
All right, so now the three candidates, Andy Sam, that we move forward with.
Turge Davis and
Dana Altman.
So Steve Offer was about the only one that got shot down, and that was mine.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Well, Davis. Davis make it into the final consideration?
Next round. Davis, you can only pick two guys to go to the next round. Who are your two choices, Andy Sam?
Davis and Turge.
Okay, mine are Turge and Altman.
Yeah, same. Turge and Altman.
Ryan
Davis and Turge.
Turge and Altman.
Okay, it's down to Turge and Altman. Now we have a discussion.
This is probably just
who
how they
would
do
be
it.
The better coach. Yeah, it probably is how they do it. Now, I'm intrigued to hear
and
more.
Those, and how those guys are getting paid. How much to do this? Give me a break.
I've all got right. Turge in one hand and Altman in the other. Pick a hand.
Turge had the hotter year this year. But, in fact, Creighton has been more consistently at the top of that conference, the Missouri Valley. So, Andy Sam, what are the factors that make Creighton – a more consistent power in that conference than Wichita State? What, in fact, is an easier job to succeed at, Creighton or Wichita State?
Kyle Korver.
Well, Creighton is more established, obviously, but looking at the future between the two schools, I would think Wichita State might have the more immediate impact for the next couple of years. So,
in terms of what's an easier job to win at, in terms of facilities, in terms of recruiting base, in terms of history, in terms of attendance, enthusiasm.
Very similar because Creighton, obviously, just the Quest Center, a beautiful arena, and Wichita State obviously did a lot of renovations to Henry Levitt.
Okay, so if they're very similar and Creighton, in fact, has had more success, except for this year, then maybe Dana Altman has done an even better job at Creighton than Mark Turgeon has done at Wichita State. Can we draw that conclusion?
Did anyone throw out Wayne Morgan's name?
Throw it right out. The door.
Wayne Morgan. Iowa State threw out Wayne Morgan.
Yeah. So what do you think? What do you think? Does that mean Altman would
Davis
be a better choice?
I don't think Altman leaves. I don't think either of those coaches will leave.
No, not that. We're trying to figure out who we're going to approach
I
off
hereby
the job to.
Recommend we make an offer to Dana Altman to be the next coach at Oklahoma.
Whoa.
Because Tom Keegan convinced me.
I'm still on the Turgeon bandwagon. Unlike Salmon, who's not going to protect his old school, I think that it's much harder to coach at Wichita State. Basketball was down there. Hadn't been to the Sweet 16 since, 81? I think that's right. And he brought that back. He's got a pedigree of some good basketball behind him, considering his KU days. He's a perfect fit.
Well, let me tell
you
this. I don't know what Creighton's numbers were, but I know Wichita State sold out every home game. I'm sure Creighton was right there because I know they set the largest attendance in Nebraska this year, where Oklahoma, I think, only had 3 sellouts. So maybe those two jobs, you know, for pure basketball, are better than Oklahoma. I think Texas, KU, and Oklahoma State were the only ones that showed up half the time. You know, it's something similar to Kansas State. It's a football school, so where does that factor into it?
Mark Turgeon has to prove more to me to show that he would not be in and over his head in the Big 12.
Well,
that's my opinion.
Hasn't Turgeon
proved He's been to one tournament.
And 3 NITs in a row. Don't forget that.
Which is significant when you're coming from Wichita State.
Yes. And when you coach in the state that is Kansas, where KU basketball owns it. Creighton, Altman, there's no basketball in Nebraska that anybody's like, well, I got to watch Cornhusker basketball. No, he doesn't have to fight with anybody. You watch Nebraska Cornhusker
good
football,
point, DJ.
And then you've got Creighton basketball to look forward to because they make a perennial run in the Missouri Valley.
And they crushed Nebraska this year.
That too. But Turgeon is doing it in a state that is dominated by KU basketball, and he's starting to turn that corner. I think that's pretty impressive. Give the guy a shot. I still vote for Turgeon.
Here's
okay, I vote for Turgeon too.
Turgeon's thing, though.
You're too easy, Ryan.
And KU fans aren't going to like this, but Turgeon is from the Williams Dean Smith tree where there's a lot of loyalty, and maybe, you know, right now he's going to loyal to Wichita State. I don't know. Maybe, you know.
A lot of loyalty.
A lot of loyalty.
Didn't Roy say he would never, ever, ever leave KU?
Mere facts.
I got to run in Wood's crew more often, man. You just change your mind, he's going to follow you. I love it. Cracks me up. Wood, we're going to go try some crack. Come on. All right, I'm coming.
All right, I'm undecided, Romery. Tell me, who should it be?
Down to those two, I think they're pretty similar situations. I mean, that would be a tough call there, and I think the phone call that has to come now, if you get it down to those two, is judging the interest that they respond with when you contact them. You call Turge, find out if he really wants to leave there, if he wants to get to the Big 12, if he wants to compete against Kansas. You call Altman and say, hey, you've been here once, it didn't work out well for you, we think we have a better situation, we think you're a good coach, do you have any interest in the pressure in coming back and getting away from something you've built? Then I think you kind of gauge on the responses you get from those two guys. You look at the buyout clauses, what they have in those two places. My guess is it would cost more to buy Altman out of Creighton than it would at Wichita State. I'm just guessing. I have no idea. For Oklahoma, it's going to be, you know, pocket cash anyway to do either of those things. And then maybe make a decision on one or two of those guys. I think both of them could be very successful down there.
Oklahoma's not going to throw any lifelines to Wichita State after the baseball fiasco. Well, that happened.
Mean Gene backing down.
That's not a bad point.
Wow.
That is a great point.
And last night, Wood and I were sitting front row back right behind Stevenson walking in, and, man, it was all we could do to hold back the jokes because they were getting ready to go.
Hey, Gene Stevenson made a trip out to the mound last night during the KU baseball game, and one man stood up in the stands and screamed, "Boomer Sooner!" And I just laughed for a good half inning.
And I think if you put all five of us together, we're no Joe Castiglione, so I think that neither of those two will even be finalists.
Are you serious?
I think they're going to do a national search. They're going to go with somebody as established as they can get. I don't think they're going
to.
Jim Wardridge.
I got a wild name for you. I don't know that he's been hired yet. If he has, I apologize. Mike Montgomery, former Stanford coach. That would be a great hire.
Doesn't he coach in the WNBA?
Isn't he in the NBA?
He got fired by the Golden State Warriors, right?
I thought he was coaching like the Phoenix Mercury.
You can get out of those WNBA.
Maybe he's selling insurance or something.
I don't know. He's still recruiting twins to Stanford.
He was a terrific. I was covering Irvine, went into Montana when Larry Kraskowiak was a player there, and he was coaching Montana. Terrific job there. Terrific job at Stanford. Parlayed that into huge bucks.
Let's call him.
What might about also Rick Majerus?
Rick flunked the physical, right, with the latest job he was offered, Arizona State. It was pending a physical, and then he's no longer a candidate, so we can.
Physical, come on.
Well, why would you make it pending passing a physical when it's Rick Majerus? Why not?
He's not a.
Give him the physical.
He's not a point guard. Come on.
Plus, doesn't have a great chance to pass a physical. Let's be frank. He's very overweight, and he's had some heart issues in the past. So that the whole thing, I didn't like the way that went down. Why put Rick through that in terms of having to face the music of flunking a physical? If that indeed is what happened, and obviously it was pending a physical,
well,
and now he's not
our,
a candidate.
Our vote on this, because we also have to get to Missouri's coach real quick, and then we got a couple other topics we need to hit.
Okay.
I mean, our OU coaching search went a little long, but let's who are we making this offer to?
Okay, I'm going to offer Mike Montgomery.
So am I.
Left in the finals. Where did that come from?
I'm offering Mike Montgomery too.
It was a secret candidate. It was a secret candidate the way Kelvin Sampson was. All right, we got two votes for Montgomery. DJ Wetter.
I go Turge.
Turge, one
I'm
for
really
Turge.
Disappointed
Romery
with the committee though.
Billy Tubbs.
Unbelievable. I think Turge is getting paid too much from Spangles and those cherry mudslides. He's not going to leave Wichita.
Those are great commercials. I really want a cherry mudslide.
Spangles coming to Lawrence. Saw it up today.
I live by it. The sign went up, my man.
Yeah, today the sign went up yesterday.
Joe Holliday, an Oklahoma guy.
Okay.
Get
the new coach is Mike Montgomery.
I'm really disappointed in the committee.
Well done, Keegan.
This committee was hired by the Missouri Athletic Department.
Unbelievable.
Speaking of, let's get to them real quick.
Mike Alden's leaving right now.
How about Mike Anderson? That's
a good, solid hire. I mean, he's a real good coach, has an unusual style of play.
40 minutes of hell.
Lost to KU 100-74, so that
wasn't that close. Trust me.
He said, "Actually."
I actually
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I actually think Missouri could have done a little bit better here, to be quite honest with you. I don't know, but I figured they'd Mike get a bigger Montgomery. Name. I mean, when Missouri claims to be a basketball school, they've got that brand new arena, and I just don't think anybody wanted the job. I think that's why I think they settled for Anderson. I don't think that was their number one guy
at all.
Well,
Calipari would have been nice, but 4 years, three times in the tournament at UAB, better chance for success at Missouri than at UAB, maybe because they're in a better conference.
But how about the day of the hiring? They're talking about firing the AD. I mean,
unbelievably poorly done.
They got to get the things turned around. I mean, I'm not a Missouri fan, but come on. Turn it around.
Yeah, don't let him make one last hire and then get rid of him. Get rid of him like KU did and then hire your own basketball coach, which is exactly what happened here.
And don't take attention away from the Anderson hiring by having them focus on the meeting to fire the AD and then he doesn't get fired.
Maybe they could have had Ricky Clemens do the announcement.
Hey, Romery.
Beautiful.
That would have been
with
fantastic.
The president next.
Do you remember how we agreed earlier? I'm going to have to totally disagree with you. I think Anderson's a great hire. And I think he's going to get the kind of personnel in there that he needs that's going to bring that program back to life.
So if you're a Missouri booster, you are fired up about this, honestly.
I'm fired up.
You are. Are you, Tom Keegan?
What else do you have to be fired
DJ,
up?
DJ, Ryan, booster? Are you guys fired up about this?
Well, Tom's fired
You've
up.
You've just
Ryan's
put $80 million
up,
into a brand
up.
New arena. You finally chased this Yahoo out that's been there for a few years. Is this the hire that gets Missouri basketball to its first Final Four?
No, John Calipari would have been that. So I'm not fired up at that level, but it was a good solid hire.
I don't think a Missouri booster is fired up about anything because there's so much more crap
they're
to,
fired
to
up.
Figure well, out.
Thanks for the Montgomery vote, by the way.
You're welcome. And you know,
they're fired
up. You sold me, man. You sold me.
Again,
summertime, Lake of the Ozarks. They got some stuff to be proud of.
Ah, going intertubing down there. I'm going to do that in a couple months. But no, I mean, there's so much more to. They want Alden out of there. They want Gary Pinkel out of there. There's just it's hard to get fired up about one hiring when they feel like there's four or five more to make.
You heard it here first on the Spodcasters. Missouri will not be second to last next year with this hire.
I agree.
In what?
What do they got?
In the North, in the Big 12. Yeah.
Well, he's got to get
qualify
his own type of players in there.
He said, I heard the Rome interview, and he said, he's going to try to run the 40 minutes of hell.
Sure.
But if he can't, you might give him 25 minutes of hell and 15 minutes of heck. So I thought that was pretty good. But
did
how
he
about,
really say that?
Yeah, it was a great quip there.
That is
there.
Awesome.
Was Nolan Richardson at the press conference? That's what I want to know. Because when he played Kansas in the NCAA tournament, Nolan Richardson was his little shadow, following him around everywhere. Oh, it's such a feel-good story. And then Anderson ended up getting the double T and
maybe he
thrown out of the game. So. Well, yeah. Well, Nolan being an assistant under Mike Anderson.
Or will he be the OU head coach? You want to change your vote, Ryan?
Yeah.
How about the contract? Me and Roman were looking at it the other day. Just a bizarre deal, wasn't it? The Anderson's contract, the clause is in there. Can't badmouth the school.
Those are in a lot of contracts, though.
Not in Bill Self's, I'm sure.
He wouldn't. He's not a bad.
Those seem
guy.
To me. I understand why, if you're Missouri, you put these weird things in because of your past experiences with what's gone on. However, if you got to put those clauses in the first place, that's disturbing,
it's
isn't it?
Kind of like a prenup.
If you, it is. I mean, you know, commit to this deal or don't. It's just a really weird situation. You'd think that if you're hiring the guy and you did this national search and you're this basketball school that everybody wants to come to, you wouldn't think you'd need to include things like don't say bad things about your employer while you're here.
But if you were that rich old guy marrying Anna Nicole Smith, wouldn't you make her sign something?
Yeah. His son sure wish he had. Too late now, huh?
My favorite one was $25,000 bonus for meeting the expected graduation rates or whatever it was, school clause there. The expected.
Oh, the incentives and all these coaches' contracts are hilarious to an extent. I mean, Mangino has some where if they win a game on Fox Sports, you get $5,000 or I can't remember exactly what it was. And, you know, you beat K-State, you get so-and-so. Make it to a bowl
game.
If
you win against Nebraska on a Saturday in the red Adidas gear, you get
$10,000.
It's
something like that. It's not too far off base.
Kind of like NASCAR. Got to get that Gatorade out quick.
Well, in the Huggins contract, I thought it was weird that if O.J. Mayo comes, Huggins gets a $10,000. I thought that the stated in
and
the contract.
Did it say how much O.J. gets?
Yeah. Well, unsequential bills, we don't know, but non-sequential, unsequential.
That's an irresponsible thing to say, DJ.
Sorry. Allegedly.
Okay, well. Iowa State, do anyone care about McDermott there?
No, go
no.
on.
Nope.
Next issue. It's going to take them a few years, I think, to recover. Next issue, last night, KU baseball game.
23-24, largest crowd in the history of the Hog.
And they watched a boring game, in my opinion. It was good to see Kansas win it, but
watched it,
it was
yeah.
not a not a fun game to watch, in my opinion.
Sloppy. I agree. I think the midweek games, we talked about this last night, I think that happens because KU's not throwing any of its number one pitchers out there because you're saving that for Missouri in the Big 12. Wichita State just played an 11-inning game on Tuesday, saving its pitchers for the weekend to come for the Missouri Valley Conference. I don't think – I love the matchups between KU and Wichita State. I think it's great for both schools. I love how they alternate it one place at a time, one game. The next week it's at the next place. The next week you come back. But I don't know if it's a true indicator, really, either team at this point, because you really are. I mean, look at the guys that pitched last night for Kansas. These are not guys that are pitching against Nebraska, Missouri, and
Texas.
It's
an indicator, though, that Wichita State does have some problems at the
plate. You might not know, but John Allman surely thought it was an indicator of who the best team in the state was. Said we are definitely the best team in the state.
He might have to run a couple foul poles for that one.
kids juiced up about a big win
State rival. Right, but they have to go down to Wichita next week. Yeah. Remember that.
Nothing I'd like more than being an outfielder in Wichita where they allow you to bring beer in. Good luck with that, John.
Well, here's what it was, though. It was a more important game for KU than it was Wichita State from the standpoint that KU had played 13 ranked opponents so far this year, the toughest schedule in the nation, half of their games against ranked teams. They were 5-8, hadn't played a ranked team at home, though. They came home, they play a ranked team, and they look pretty darn good doing it. They get rid of them 8-2. So it's a nice win for Kansas in a midweek game, and hopefully sets up a fun weekend against Mizzou.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, there's four players. Kansas City Royals have the number one draft pick this year. They want a college pitcher, and there's four of them they're targeting. KU's already faced one, Southern California. Mm-hmm. They're facing another one Friday against Missouri, Max Scherzer. This schedule is not getting any easier for these guys, and it probably won't for another couple of weeks.
It's the toughest schedule in the nation. They have the number 34
RPI. It's amazing that they're
18-10,
to be honest with you.
It is. No, the schedule is just
– It does get easier, though, after this weekend. We've talked to Coach Price several times, and he said this week after week. He's like, if we can survive the first three weekends in the Big 12, because the first six are on the road at Baylor and Nebraska, and then you got maybe the best pitcher in America coming, you know, this weekend. Luckily, it's at home, but if we could survive those first three weekends, if KU can – I think the win won for sure. If they could somehow beat Missouri 2 out of 3 times, I think the rest of the season sets up pretty good for this team to where finally when they get to the end of that Big 12 season, they don't have to worry about that 7, 8, 9 spot. Are we going to get into the tournament? I think they can find their way up a little bit further into the middle of that thing.
Well, and they go to Baylor, a ranked squad, a team that's in the College World Series every year. They take 1 of 3. They didn't get swept. They do the same thing at Nebraska. They don't get swept. And they're playing without Matt Beatty, who's still injured. They're playing without Ryan Price, their starting second baseman. So, again, you said the word. The word is survive. And they got to do it one more weekend.
No doubt.
And they are. And they might get Beatty back, and they might get Price back sooner than expected, maybe for that Big 12 weekend after Missouri this weekend. So it looks the prospects are for a good season here with Kansas baseball.
That's absolutely true. And the thing was they needed starting pitching. It's one thing they only had the last couple of years. They only had one great starting pitcher for the weekend and two, you know, okay ones. And now they're getting much better starting pitching. Land's pitching well. Fairchild. Kodiak Quick's been great this year, so that's been the key. They gotta develop those 3 weekend pitchers, and they'll be all right.
And watch out for Kodiak on Sunday because he had the beard going and wasn't going so well. He shaved it, and then they won against number 2 Nebraska in Lincoln, saved that Sunday game. He didn't get the win, but a very good ball game, pitched well. He might come out and dominate Mizzou on Sunday. Heads up. Watch out for Cody.
And, you know, we talked that the game wasn't boring last night, but I agree with you. I think it was significant in a lot of ways. I think it is showing how much Kansas has closed the gap, and they've had to because of the power of the conference. I'm not willing to say that, you know, I think one game doesn't make you a better program, but this is clearly – this is not the Shockers of the 1990s. We're one of the
top
5 teams.
And part of the reason is they're stealing some recruits. But let's be honest, mid-game or not, this is a watershed moment. This was the moment Kansas became the dominant program in the state.
Well,
John Allman.
Hey, he's juiced out. Leave him alone. John Allman's a good kid.
Hey, no, kid. I think it was great that he said. Then I bet Rich Price was proud. He was a little ticked off, but he had to be proud.
After he ran the foul poles?
Price said.
Yeah,
he was.
Yeah, go ahead.
He wants Allman thinking that. He doesn't want him telling the rest of the state.
Right.
And what Price said, his quote was similar lines, but he wasn't going to say it. You know, we have great respect for them, but at the same time, you know, we're probably playing at a better conference here. We have to, you know, achieve where we're at. And
Wichita State doesn't hide from teams, though.
No.
They play Oklahoma, Kansas, Kansas State.
But they've lost 4 out of their last 5, and they've kind of, you know.
He might hide from Oklahoma now. He might not want to play a road game down there.
Actually, yeah, they already played that, and nothing really happened. They didn't really give him a whole lot of
– Really? No grief? Not like the Kansas fan last night did?
Well, it was probably about that much. It wasn't significant. But
that was some funny stuff.
I bet Wichita State would be pretty fired up next Wednesday. And you know who else is going to be fired up?
Who's that?
George Mason. George. And now we got to give.
I like Florida.
Florida, I don't like you.
Winning the Final Four. Although nobody picks UCLA ever. All they do is shut people down. Great defensive backcourt.
So horrible to watch.
Are we doing our Final Four predictions?
No, let's.
Is that what you're trying to do here, Sam?
We're gonna let's wrap up with Final Fours. We're
Florida,
just close. But
George Mason.
Let's talk about the relays just briefly. We found out that the Gold Zone Deuce is gonna feature Maurice Green,
Mo Green,
and Gatlin.
I think it's great that Gatlin's coming. He's the best sprinter in the world right now. He was a world champion last year, the Olympic champion. He's, as far as sprinters go, he's the face of men's track and field right now. That's a great get. And, of course, Mo Green's not going to – he rarely says no to the Kansas relays. So the only thing you wish, they're running the 4x1. You wish they're running the open one against each other. I think Gatlin's smoking him because Green's getting up there in years. But you know, that's a sexier race in the 4x1.
Unless Mo punched him in the face.
And who knows if Gatlin might have a 10-yard head start on Green by the time they get the baton. So, but you know, that's one thing Tim Weaver said, that you know, that this is their training schedule. We can't. They're going to train and do the races they want to do, and that's what they decide they want to do.
And so, who knows that if even that's going to be the biggest event? There's supposed to be 30 Olympians out there. Maybe someone, you know, breaks a record in the shot or whatever.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, Marion Jones came last year and performed quite poorly, but she was a marquee attraction, and that got a lot of fans out there. So maybe they'll have more
she
surprises like that.
She was a good hoop player at North Carolina too.
She's a good athlete.
You guys know that?
She's a good athlete. It was
a rumor.
They made
my women's hoops knowledge here.
They made a baby blue Kansas relay shirt for her, especially made for her, I believe, last year. So they took care of Marion while she's out here, and yeah, maybe she'll come back. She's got some work to do. She wants to get back up to the top, that's for sure.
I do like the fact that they haven't released all the Olympians that are coming. They're going to do that kind of over time. I think that adds some excitement to it. And you
Tim Weaver is a media-savvy guy.
He
knows what he's doing. Yeah. And I think one quote he made yesterday, if anyone knows Tim Weaver, will attest to this. He said, "The most dangerous place you can be is between me and a camera." It's so true. Someone last year compared him to Don King, and he said, "Well, my response to that is only in America, baby." So.
But you know, last year's meet, the second largest attendance. We can only hope that the weather provides that same this weekend.
It has the last 2 years.
That's the weather knocking on the door.
That was Sandman's head, by the way.
Knocking on wood.
It has the last 2 years. It's been nice and clear the last 2 years I've covered it.
And really, this event
hasn't
also
rained in a while,
for all the high school kids. It's a pretty neat phenomenon to go out there. And if you're a track connoisseur, which I believe
aficionado might be another word you could use.
I prefer connoisseur.
So, Andy, why don't we wrap it up with Kevin Romery reading the spot backer of the week, and with you maybe giving a little pointer
for
all
kids?
You kids out there.
Well, I got to think about that. I wasn't even thinking about that.
Uh oh.
But our spot backer of the week is it's actually pretty long. And it's probably going to create a little more debate.
Uh-oh.
I'll tell you what. I actually responded to this spot back of the week because I thought it was so funny. But if we had more time, we could actually answer these questions, I believe.
I think we do have time.
We can answer them.
We got to go quickly, though, because you know, I'm about to get a nap, folks.
This
I'm
could be a new record.
I'm hungry.
This might be like Hoagland Ballpark last night.
Do we get sandwiches after
about
this?
About to set a new record. And this, he is the champion spot backer, correct?
Yeah, he's the man.
This is D. Singer. In the house
man.
One more time.
Good
this
night.
Is,
I love
this
that
is
guy.
Good
I owe
stick,
him
though.
A t-shirt.
This is good shtick here. All right, you guys ready? Spot backer of the week, if you're still listening. This is, what, 65 minutes or something?
Just go.
And this is after the
so
season.
What? It goes
right,
fast.
Let's read this. I think it's pretty obvious how you guys should spend the next podcast. We did pose this question at the last one because, you know, basketball season was over. You guys were arguing about the 96-97 versus the 01-02 teams, men's basketball Kansas. Mm-hmm. The 96-97 team would kill them, by the way.
Please.
But what about these matchups, assuming every player below is in their prime? Now, think about some of these matchups. Danny Manning, 1-on-2 against Kenny Gregory and Moulin Yan in a half-court game.
I like Manning. Although he doesn't have anybody to pass it to, and he's a great passer.
Well, Kenny doesn't have anybody to pass it to either. This year's number two. This year's KU women 5-on-2 against Brandon Rush and Julian Wright full court.
Rush and Wright.
Wow.
I'd say.
I'd take Rush and Wright.
Although
I don't know,
it'd be a high scoring game.
Somebody
How about that?
Can't guard Kaylee Brown or Erica Holman. They just shoot threes all day.
It'd be a high scoring game.
Julian's the new
Lots
league. He could probably guard
just
at least two people.
No answer.
I think the women would probably win that.
That would be tough on the guys.
All right. Meanwhile, let's go back in time. Meanwhile, B.J. Williams against Lester Earl in a fist fight.
Does Earl have his posse with him?
I'm not sure we're allowed to answer that.
I know.
Question.
That makes me nervous. The next one is Nick Bradford against Micah Downs in a hot dog eating contest.
Bradford.
Moving right along, Eric Chenoweth and Scott Pollard against Matt Kleinman and C.J. Giles in a three-legged race. It's more like an eight-legged race, isn't it?
Three long legs. Race.
And then finally, T.J. Watley against Channel 6's own Greg Gurley in a race around the world. And don't pretend like you've never considered any of these matchups.
That was brilliant.
And then D. Singer answers his own questions. And this is where it gets pretty good. I thought about it, figured I should at least answer my own scenarios before opening up the debate. Danny Manning 1-on-2 against KG and Mulai in a half-court game. I'll take Danny for a couple of reasons. Since this is only a half-court matchup, Gregory won't be able to score transition points, and since he would never really do anything else with consistency, he becomes a non-factor. And I just don't think Mulai has a chance of stopping Danny from getting to the basket.
Agree. Great answer.
Yeah. This year's KU women 5-on-2 against B. Rush and Julian full court. I think Rush and Wright win this one. They're bigger than the women and can outrun them in the full court scenario. I know there are only two of them to five women, but the size and speed advantage added to the obvious talent advantage will make it close.
Probably right.
I can buy that.
I think the women would win.
B.J. Williams against Lester in the fist fight. I'll pick B.J., but Lester will definitely get some sucker punches in.
I would say if it's one-on-one, I would have to take my Wichita's own Williams. But I agree with if Lester's packing
Master P
and the No Limit Soldiers, ain't no way B.J.'s got a chance.
The No Limit Soldiers aren't going to lose a fight. Come on.
Oh, ridiculous.
I thought I told you.
Then he picks Nick Bradford against Micah Downs in a hot dog eating contest. I think this one should come down to the final seconds, but Micah would end up whining about his hot dogs being harder to eat than Bradford's, and he'd eventually give up.
Great but spotbacker of the week. Stuff.
Eric Chenoweth and Scott Pollard against Kleinman and Giles in a three-legged race. Another tough one, but I think Kleinman could surprise us with his three-legged race closing speed. I don't know where he comes up with this. And then T.J. Watley against Gurley in a race around the world. Gurley has no chance. Watley is so debonair with the mustache that he could charm his way around the world.
Great answer. Wow. Totally agree with
that
last
one. I agree,
one.
But I totally disagree with it. And I love Watley, but I think the mustache is so mysterious that he gets stopped at every port every time he tries to go, but I think the clean-shaven Gurley slips right through.
Andy, great, are you growing point. A stash there? That's what I want to know.
And looks like Wally you got a little stash right backer, now. I might.
We can get a picture of that on
KUSports.com. Pick our final fours real quick and let's get out of here.
Florida, DJ.
Our champion or our final four?
Champion. I can pick the final four.
I know, me
Florida,
too.
George Mason, UCLA. And,
yeah. You going bold, man.
LSU is my national champion.
Who are they playing?
They are playing George Mason.
UCLA beats Florida.
Mine was Florida beating
George Mason.
Florida beating Florida LSU. Beating,
that's what I was going to pick. Florida beating LSU would be mine.
How lame would an SEC?
I agree. I think the only game that people want to see is LSU, Hurricane Katrina, George Mason. The story there. How can people pick against George Mason at this point? They've already beat a better team in UConn, right?
They're the worst team left, though.
I want to see Big Baby versus Jai Lewis.
But I think that they're so athletic.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool.
That I think that they're going to get there. They have
Big Baby and Jai Lewis would be the most fun matchup.
Hey, they're not beating chumps here. They beat three.
They're not going to beat Florida.
They're going to crush them.
Florida's playing better than anybody right now.
But better than George Mason?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with Keegan.
I've got three. I've got three names for you. Joe Kim Noah.
I got two words for you. Mike Montgomery.
Tony Skinner.
I agree.
Ryan Wood. Kisses
Noah's
butt.
The best player in the country right now.
I like Tony Skinner and his punching ability. That's just what I'm going to say.
You would.
Tony
since he hit below the
I
belt.
Just can't believe you guys are picking a gun. It's, you know, it's a Cinderella
story.
So you're
story. Picking George Mason
yes.
to win.
I'm picking the whole
the thing.
The whole thing.
I agree with Sam, man.
So we have two Floridas. Ryan, who did Ryan pick again?
Whoever
I picked
you
UCLA.
Picked, Tom.
Yeah.
Who did
two
you pick?
Two Floridas, a UCLA.
And Florida's only a 6-point favorite.
Ryan Wood is—he's like a barnacle or whatever those hangs that just hang off the whales.
A parasite.
Yeah, a parasite just hangs off the whale.
Barnacle.
And he just—you
are a barnacle, my friend.
I follow the barnacle. They do the same thing. They are a parasite.
And or just, a plagiarizer. Rumry, oh no, that's so Mike Barnacle.
Is that the lesson of the week to the kids?
That is.
No, he wasn't.
Go look up what barnacle is.
Don't be a barnacle.
Do not be a barnacle. Think for yourself. Make your own opinions, kids. And on that note. And on George Mason's hopes of winning this all, they've already beat the Tall. Who else have they got to beat? Come on.
Ah, there's the connection.
Good luck, George Mason. That's what I'm saying. And good luck to you if you're still listening, because this was a
marathon. Not,
yeah, it was a marathon.
It wasn't a half marathon.
If you're still listening, the wife's probably mad at you. So.
or the boss probably came by about 20 times, but that's all right.
Yeah.
Just hide under that cubicle.
Or the barnacle.
The barnacle. That's good stuff, kids. All right.
Later, Spodbackers.
Later, Spodcasters. We're signing off, and we'll see you next time.